Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And good morning, I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 20th, 2012, episode 470, brought to you today by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Horses in the Morning. Jamie, you know, Jennifer and I got to go to the beach. We went to Daytona Beach and drove our car on the beach the other day, and I learned something after going to the beach. I learned there's a very bad place that you don't want to get a sunburn.
Okay, let me guess. Let me guess what you learned. Yeah, you need to avoid getting a sunburn, you need to get one of those fancy airbrush T-shirts that they sell in Daytona.
No, that wasn't where the although I thought about it. There was that the worst place to get a sunburn is the tops of your feet.
Uh-oh. Did you make the rookie mistake of not putting sunscreen on top of your feet?
I also got these handprints on my arm on the side because of putting the sunscreen on and not getting it everywhere. And I have this perfect handprint right on the side of my arm here.
See, if you would have just gone to the local airbrush T-shirt shop and got yourself something that in pink and purple said Jennifer on it, then you would have been just fine. You got to get your sweetheart's name on the shirt.
I probably would have. We also went over to the dog track, got to watch the Greyhounds race a couple of races, and then over to the Daytona 500 and took the tour of that track. Makes the size of a racetrack looks small.
You're going too fast because you went to the dog track. Now, I, of course, know that you have a penchant for gambling, just like I do. So, did you play?
I made a big mistake, though. The first, we walked in the door.
You made a lot of mistakes this weekend.
I know.
Uh-oh.
I walk in the door, and the next race coming up, they run the race, the Greyhound races much closer together, thank God, than the horse races. Because the horse races just seems like forever between the races. So
you don't have to check them up and throw a rider on.
Put a muzzle on, and you're good to go. So we got the program, and I said, oh, number four. Number four is going to win this. And I was picking by name again, and I didn't forget what the name of number four was. So I said, number four, but I don't feel like going to figure out the betting of where the windows are and everything for this first race. We'll just watch one. Didn't that dog come in first and paid $30 to win?
Oh, my gosh. Was his name Santa's Little Helper?
Should have been. So then I did manage to win. I did manage to win the next two races, but they paid very little, and I walked away with $9. So I came out ahead.
You spent time at the track and you made $9. How much did it cost to get in there? How much did you spend on food or drinks or anything like that?
No, you don't want to buy the food, and it's free to get in because they just want anybody to come. It's kind of a – now, the only reason this dog track was the busiest dog track I've ever seen in my life is because they had two big poker rooms where they had poker going on, poker games, and was packed. Poker apparently is still pretty popular.
Well, of course it's popular. I mean, they have like the poker showdowns and stuff like that. But I have a hard time believing that they have that at the dog track. What a bizarre place to have Texas Hold'em, I guess. Now,
and I was
Glenn,
never very good at poker. I couldn't remember what beat what, and I just never figured poker out.
You don't have the patience for that. That's why you like racing, is because it's boom, over.
Right.
Now on to another one.
And with the Greyhounds, it's like boom, over. I mean, there's no time to, you know, there's the race. It's just over. It's fast.
Yeah. Well, I got to ask, was this the same location that they held the ostrich and camel races?
No, but we'll talk about those later. That was in New York. I'm sorry it wasn't, actually. I would have loved to watch that.
Glenn, can you hear me? What the heck? Jennifer.
Yes.
Where am I? Take me off hold.
You are. On my computer, you are off hold.
Where's Glenn?
I don't think that's a good start to the week, getting dropped off already.
Uh-oh. I'm here. I'm here.
Okay, good.
Sorry. Jennifer put me on hold.
And I
Jennifer
got cut
put me
off,
on hold.
So.
Sorry.
All right,
okay,
we're back.
Where were we? Let's go ahead and find out what is coming up on today's show, because I want to talk about these ostrich races.
All right. Jennifer?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, I'm going to just crawl under my rock and turn off all of the buttons because I can't get any of them right today. But we will launch from the gate with equestrian terminology translations, thanks to an interesting Facebook post, followed by another snippet from Lisa's Ada Adventure, and this time a couple of nifty new products and companies. Next up, Wiley Leslie from Horse Nation is here with the all-time most interesting solution to keeping your cranium safe while participating in outrageous outdoor sports. And we would like to update our national day for today. Normally, this would be Happy National Radio Day, but we need to bring things into the 21st century. Happy National Podcast Day.
Wow, I didn't know that we had a day, Jamie. That's fun.
I think she made it up. She made it up, son.
Okay, here is my daily. Oh. I'm not wearing shoes because of the sunburn on the top of my feet, and I keep wanting to cross my feet, and that's not working very well. My daily Winnie goes out to, it's a happy birthday to two people, the lovely Victoria Spicer from Horse and Country TV. It's her birthday today, and also one of our listeners, Margot Thomas. It's her birthday today as well, so this is for both of you. Happy birthday to both of them.
Woohoo! Well, I've got a my daily Winnie is kind of a roundabout daily Winnie. It goes out to my wonderful off the track thoroughbred Jet, and here's why. I had a really bad horse week. As you guys know, I went and tried horses for school horses all this past week, and one bucked. Which really kind of messed up my back, and it bucked several times. One bolted. It was just, you know, I just had the worst luck. One was lame. I just had the worst luck horse shopping this week. So, you know, on Thursday, I decided to have a jump school for Jet, and I jumped him, and I jumped him huge, and it was awesome. Everything was like 3.6. It was great. I had an awesome time jumping him. So then comes Friday, and it's dressage day. So I put on my, you know, my fancy dressage saddle and get my boots and my breeches on. And I got to point out, Glenn, that I live in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona, where I might be the only one who owns a dressage saddle within about 100-mile radius. I mean, it is, and I live in a little equestrian community, so people ride around their horses, and I mean, it'll be like 15-year-old girls with no helmet galloping down the road, you know, bareback or in a Western saddle, you know, stuff we did when we were kids, but now I look at them and I'm like, how does your mother not make you wear a helmet? That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Or, you know, their bits will be on backwards, or, you know, they got their wraps, they put wraps on their horse because they're like, leopard colored and they're on backward, just really kind of, you know, needing education type horsemanship. So here I am, and my arena is by the road. So everybody that rides by can see me, and I have been told that, you know, before they got to know me, everybody made fun of me because I am that English rider that rides those horses with those weird saddles. It's bizarre. It's a neighborhood of Westernness. So here I am, and I'm on my horse, Jet, and we're all done up. He's got his white polo wraps on. I mean, that's a spectacle. And we were going to practice our training level dressage tests, which are 15-meter circles at the trot and canter. We've got to do on some lengthenings. Trot and canter lengthening. So, I mean, I've got my test in my pocket. I am ready to practice. Now, I had a bad horse week the day before with an awesome, huge jump school with Jet. But Jet just decided that I needed to take the weekend off. I needed to just take the weekend off from riding, and he was going to make that happen. And so Friday night, as I'm all done up in my dressage saddle and my polo wraps and my boots and my breeches and a collared shirt, riding around in my dressage arena in my yard, about 10 girls on their Western horses come at a dead gallop down the road. At the same time, in front of my house is a dude on a unicycle. Unicycle! Who rides a unicycle?
I have never seen one of those in the wild before, only ever in circuses.
Yes, a unicycle. A guy comes riding on a unicycle, and he's approaching like he's about to tee with the riders that are galloping down the road. And it's the exact same moment that I am coming across the diagonal to ask for my trot lengthening, and I'm heading towards the tee of the unicycle and 10 horses galloping. And just as you can imagine, I don't even need to finish this story. I don't remember a time that I have ever fallen off that quickly. It was like it never happened. I mean, and it was that moment where, you know, I'm jumping 3-6 the day before I should be able to stick on. It was that exact moment where you're standing up posting, because you can't sit the trot lengthening, really. You know, as you're standing up posting, you're taking your leg off to push as you're sitting back down. It was that exact moment of standing up, leg off, where my horse wheeled. I mean, flat turned around and left, which catapulted me into the air, upside down on a front flip, and landed on the back of my head and on my back.
Ooh.
That was already hurting from the horse that bucked me off, tried to buck me off a couple days before. No, that would be fine. I mean, it hurt, but I got up. It was no problem. The problem is that there are 10 girls on horses that are galloping down the road that happened to see the entire thing happen. As my horse runs back to the barn, I get up, I dust myself off. They're like, "Are you okay?" You know, and of course they're going in their heads, "Look at that crazy English lady with no stupid saddle on. She's just riding around there. She gets bucked up for a horse. We saw the whole thing happen." So I have to do I'm like, "I'm fine. I'm fine, thanks. Thanks for spooking my horse. You galloped down the road, all the way down the road." I had to do the walk of shame all the way back to my barn to go get my horse with my dirty britches and the sand down my shirt as I'm limping all the way back to the barn. It was awful. And I had to take the weekend off. I did not sit on another horse because my back still hurts this morning. Thank you very much.
It's one of those things that no matter how good a rider you are, you weren't staying on there. You weren't staying on.
At least when you fall off, sometimes it's almost like it's slow motion, and you're like, you can see yourself falling off. Like, I know Aubrey knows what I'm talking about. She's listening right now. It's like you kind of feel yourself catapulting into the air, and you see the ground, and you feel like you can do it. There was nothing. It was like, boom, done, on the ground. I was like, what just happened? Where's my horse? Why am I on the ground upside down? It was so fast. It was so fast. Unbelievable. So I lunged his butt in side reins all weekend to punish him.
Well, I'm glad you're okay. I mean, landing on your head's never a good thing, helmet or not. So I'm glad you're okay.
Well, thank you for not asking me if I had my helmet on, because, of course, you know I had my helmet on.
I know
that
you had your helmet on.
Well, that is just such a good reason for you to have it on. I mean, just anything can happen. I know I have to fight with Chad to get him to put his helmet on. He's like, we're just going in the arena. Just going in the arena, no big deal. And so of course I walk back and I'm like, this is why you wear your helmet in the arena. Because of this.
Well, I'm glad you're okay. That's good. That's good.
Thank you.
You did have kind of a bad week with horses. You really needed to, you know, spend more time with your dogs last week and less time with the horses. You would have been better
off.
Yeah,
I really did. I really did. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I have a note that just came in from Judy Shepherd, one of our listeners, who says, Tori says thanks for her beautiful halter fleece from Fleecework. She had won that a couple of weeks ago on a call-in to win, I believe. I have never come across fleece this soft. She loves it, thanks. And she posted a picture of her horsey with her fleece, and it does look soft. It looks luscious. So that's on our Facebook page. You can find that under posts by others. Now, there's something else that happened over the weekend. On Friday night, we went over to the OTB, the off-the-track betting here in Ocala, which is at the Ocala yearling sales place where they hold the big auctions. And, you know, the one when we used to go to the OTB in Lancaster and when we lived in Pennsylvania to watch our friends race their horses, it was a comfy place, and they had the booths, and you could order food, and it was, you know, except for the smoke-filled room, it was fairly nice place. You just came out smelling like smoke the entire time. But this one, not so much. This one's a big, what looks like a cafeteria, and it has cafeteria-style tables and plastic hard chairs and some TVs lined up along the wall, and that's the OTB here. They don't even have little tellers to take your bets. It's all computers now.
Really?
You just walk up to the computer, yeah. And you don't have any teller people anymore. Nope. It's just computers. And you know, I don't want to sound disparaging, but I'm guessing that about half the people, it's a sad place. I'm guessing that about half the people in there should not be wagering and should be buying their kids food. It's just something I'm saying.
Really? So it wasn't the off-the-track betting place that I was imagining where you would need a miner's cap to go in because the smoke is so...
Well,
so heavy.
I got to give them credit for that because they had two sides, a non-smoking and a smoking. So thank God for that because I'm not real good with a lot of smoke, you know. So Florida, we're pretty good about that here. So it was kind of nice to not have that, but it was just kind of a sad place. And then all the TVs were out of focus, it seemed like. So
really?
They had these big TVs.
You're so used to HD. It's not HD. I can't watch it.
So it just seemed like they were all kind of out of focus. But Frankie raced. Remember, we met Frankie Lovato, our good friend who does his own radio show, comes on all the time to talk about racing, and they brought him back for a Legends race. And it was called the Fab Five versus the Legends. It was at Arlington Park. Where is Arlington? Is that in Indiana someplace?
Is in Arlington, Washington?
I don't think so, because it was like Central Time. So I think it must be like Chicago. Jennifer, look that up for us so we can figure out where Arlington is. But so we went, we watched his race, and then we left right away because the place is so depressing. But I couldn't even figure out how to bet with the
Illinois.
Stupid machine.
You're right.
Illinois. Okay, thank you. But I couldn't even figure out how to bet. You know, so it was like I didn't bet on him. And if it's good, I didn't. I would have lost. But do you want to hear the race? I have it here. I have the audience.
Oh, definitely. But wait, hold on. You didn't bet on him?
I couldn't figure out how with the stupid machines. I'm a geek and I couldn't figure the machines out. So anyway, he was riding a horse by the name of Denim, like your britches, you know, like the jeans, Denim. So that was his horse. You'll hear the race here with the other legends. And there were five of the best jockeys from Arlington that were racing against the legends. And they were having a good time, by the way, before and after the race. So here's the race.
Beroff racing in the Arlington Fab Five versus the Legends, and it was a good start for One for Biscuit for Rosemary Homeister Jr. Here's Daddy Spent the Money now with the rail for Jeffrey Sanchez to the first turn. Larry Melanson has Dominant Sue in the red cap up there too at the first turn. It's Daddy Spent the Money leading to the back of the course, a length and a half in front of One for Biscuit and Dominant Sue. At the inside, Denim rides the rail for Frankie Lovato Jr. into fourth. Switching to Glide and leading jockey, Cisco Torres in fifth. Patty Cooksey and Denim have settled sixth. Hungry Wildcat seventh with the rail for Zoe Cavan. Jake Will Gallop is next for James Graham. That comes the Hall of Famer. Early fires with Texas Edge, running second to last. And Big Bear Hug is 10th under Seth Martinez, racing up the back stretch. Daddy Spent the Money leads with five furlongs to go. And the opening quarter in 23 and 4/5 seconds. In the shadow of the half-mile pole, Daddy Spent the Money on top. Leads by a length and a half to Dominant Sue. One for Biscuit right there, third. Switching to Glide. Now begins a run on the outside to just grab that third spot. Denim is five from the front in fifth. On the outside, Stanley Jean. Sixth for Patty Cooksey, and still seven lengths from the front. And Dominant Sue has taken the lead now for Larry Melanson. Hungry Wildcat starts a methodical move. Jake will gallop his wide Texas Edge. And Big Bear Hug has trailed. Dominant Sue, Daddy Spent the Money, Texas Edge. Here comes Denim. Stanley G's black cap on the far outside. It's up for grabs into the straight. Three quarters rent in 1:14 and four. Final furlong. Dominant Sue switching to Glide. Denim. Here comes Jake will gallop on the outside. And Big Bear Hug from downtown. Jake will gallop. Big Bear Hug on the wire. Jake will gallop for the Arlington Fab Five. A bunch finish for second. Big Bear Hug was stand side. Dominant Sue was there. Hungry Wildcat with the rail. And then Denim and switching the Glide. It was Jake will gallop. First home in the Arlington Fab Five.
Well, it once again goes. Well, he was up there.
Yes, he was. Till the very end, and actually, what he said was true. The winner came in, and I have never seen a pack of horses come in second and third before like that. There must have been seven horses that were just right there in a group. Jennifer figured that they planned it that way so none of the legends would feel like crap after that they had, like, came in last place. So they all came in second. That seemed to be the way it worked.
Really? Oh, man. Well, bless his heart, they said Denim 100 times, so I thought he was going to get it, man. Oh, well. So did a legend
fun.
Or a current jockey win?
It was a current jockey that won, actually. Yeah.
Those whippersnappers.
And they did have a great time. They did a whole thing on the TV with them before the race, and then they showed them after the race, and then they interviewed some of them after the race. Frankie got to say about two words. And then, you know, they did have a good time with them. They were all carrying on, and it just looked like the legends were having a blast. So I think it was a fun event for everybody.
Good, 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 good. Well, speaking of racing, please, 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 tell me the story of these ostriches. Why do I see a photo here of ostriches with jockeys on them?
Well, apparently they do this at the quarter horse races in New Orleans. It's the quarter horse racing meet, which lasts about two weeks in New Orleans. And, of course, if you've ever seen quarter horse racing, it's completely different, in my opinion, than what thoroughbred racing is. Because, again, it's like the greyhounds. It happens fast. I mean, running a quarter mile for these horses doesn't take very long. So it's like you better be watching because it's over. But they also do some fun. You know how we always say the Western side does fun stuff? You know, they always make it more fun for the audience. Well, they do with quarter horse racing as well. They raced ostriches, which I've seen before, but this was pretty funny. And I posted the link on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. You'll find the link to the video there of the ostrich racing. And it was funny. And you know, some of them don't stay on too well. And, of course, watching them run, these birds can move down the track. It's not like they were, you know, poking around. They can move. They really fly down the track.
So instead of, like, it's not mass chaos. Like, the birds come out of the gates, and then it runs to the right and to the left. They actually, like, know to run straight?
Well, they actually go down the track. You haven't watched the video yet, right?
No.
So they actually put them in the gates. So they do put them in the gates, and they come out of the they kind of run straight, and they when they came out of the gate, they head towards the rail, sort of like any other running creature. Now the winner of this particular race was in the lead the whole way, and they run a quarter mile, and immediately after they crossed the finish line, about three of the jockeys fell off or jumped off. I'm not sure which. They were
really?
Off the birds at that point. Yeah.
Do they have, like, little jockey saddles, or
yes,
are they grabbing
little,
onto their neck?
No, they put little saddles on them, and they actually, it looks like they hold on to the front of the saddle because there's not much else to hold on to. I doubt the birds really want you grabbing their necks. So I don't think they do. Now, and they were actually doing a sort of whipping motion with, I couldn't tell whether they were carrying crops or, I don't know what they were doing, just beating them on the butts with their hands. I couldn't tell. But it was a funny event. And then they raced camels, apparently, but I don't have the video of the camel racing.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Do you think the camel's in the gate? Do you think the camel's fit in the gate? Here, Doc!
I don't think they would fit in the gate. You'd have to, you know, one of those, like, starting lines with the tape and just, okay, go. But what's interesting to me, they actually use real jockeys and not just random people?
No, they use real jockeys. You want to hear some of the names of some of the racing birds?
Yes.
Don't Call Me Emu, which I thought was pretty good. Non-Deplumage. Feather Duster was written by Dale Betty. I'll Hatch Another.
That's your pick.
And She's Got Legs. So they have some clever names. I got to give them that. Apparently, ostrich racing is very common and very popular in Africa.
No
where
kidding.
Horses are scarce.
I was going to say, it's because they can't feed the horses. It's like desert, you know. Well, that's interesting. Another racing story for you is that the Jockey Club just announced the release of a new game. Did you ever get into, like, Farmville or Frontierland or any of those games like that where you build a farm? Well,
no, I didn't.
If you're going to get into one, my friend, you need to get into Thoroughbred World. It's the first social and mobile thoroughbred game, providing unmatched authentic thoroughbred horse training and breeding experience from building the first paddock to entering the winner's circle. And it's on Facebook right now. You can just type in Thoroughbred World, and it'll pop up, and then you go through the whole thing. Now, I was excited because I thought it was going to be a racing game, you know, where you have to, like, hit enter a million times, and that makes your horse, the faster you hit the button, the faster they go. Not so much. It's more like a Frontierland or a Farmville where I clicked on it, and it took me to Nancy's farm. And, hey, I'm Nancy. I'm your neighbor. Would you like to help me groom horses? And so I had to go to Nancy's farm, and I had to groom horses. I'm like, please, I want my own horses. I don't want to groom Nancy's stupid horses. But then you earn coins to, like, buy your own horses later on. So you have to, like, work for before you get your own farm. I just want a farm.
Geez.
I know.
I would get bored in about 10 seconds.
That's about how long I lasted. However, I guess you will have to talk. As soon as I clicked on it, I could see the listeners or friends of mine on my Facebook that are actually play Thoroughbred World, and Samiko was one of them, one of our listeners. So I'll have to ask her to give me the tour of Thoroughbred World, because apparently you can use action points to nurture and train beautiful horses and then enter them in competitive races against other players. You can purchase thoroughbreds. Oh, my gosh, you probably have to spend real money. Or breed them yourselves. Use coins and thorough bucks to upgrade your center and equipment and jockeys. And then it's too complicated for us, Glenn.
My ADD already. I'm already on to the next story.
You're not even listening to me, are you? Anyway, it's free
although
on
I
Facebook.
Think thoroughbucks is a good idea. I think every horse husband wishes your wife was just spending thoroughbucks and not real bucks.
Yeah, you can do that online at Thoroughbred World. There you go.
That's funny. Hey, yeah, something else too from the weekend is let me find the story here. The conventions are actually coming up, and there was a story out of Tampa where the Republican convention is going to be that they're going to have 48 horses that will help control the crowds. They're bringing horses in from all over the state. And then I got to thinking about your horse, and I got to thinking about Jack Daniels, but I checked the article, and it doesn't look like any are coming from as far away as Arizona. So Jack Daniels is not going to be able to go to Florida and have a good time with the riders. So he's not involved. I checked.
Probably
they
not.
They have 48 other horses, and outfitting the horses cost about $38,000 plus $24,000 for food and lodging. So to have the horses at the Republican National Convention, the convention is going to have to pay almost $65,000 to have the horses there for crowd control.
Well, it's worth it. They should pay more. They can afford it.
You think they should get bonuses?
I think so.
Extra vittle.
Hey, Before we get to our first, our next kind of segment here, our first guest, if you will, I just wanted to make mention, do you remember Smoke the Donkey?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Smoke
he
the Donkey.
He came over from Iraq, right?
Yes, this is a donkey that Colonel John Folsom, who is Marine Corps, he's retired now. He was over in Iraq. Yeah, we had John Folsom on the
Wasn't very
Colonel
chatty.
Folsom. No, not a very chatty guy. You can't imagine that a colonel would be kind of buttoned up and quiet. Shocker, right? a Marine colonel got on our show and he wasn't bubbly.
Like, yes, sir. No, ma'am.
Yeah, exactly. And he kind of intimidated us. I know, but so he actually was the guy who kind of facilitated Smoke the Donkey coming to America to because I guess he was not in a very good place. So from 2008 on when he went over there, that's where Smoke story kind of began. You can go to smokethedonkey.com to read up on the whole thing. Well, Smoke sadly passed away last week.
Really?
And we just wanted to yes, just you know, I mean, I'm sure he didn't have the greatest life before he got here, and he sure had a good ending. So just sad, but Smoke the Donkey just passed away, and we just want to, you know, send our heart out to Colonel Folsom. We're so sorry, buddy. I know he's your friend.
Huh. I didn't realize.
Oh, I know. Isn't that awful? SmokeTheDonkey.com, though, to read the amazing story. Colonel Folsom is a much better writer than he is speaker. So if you're going to go listen to the past show where we had him on, just don't do it. go read his writing because he's much better. Much better writer.
Inside secret, behind the scenes, we actually chat with each other because, of course, Jamie, Jennifer, and I are not in the same – Jennifer and I in the same place but separate rooms here. And, of course, we're 3,000 miles apart. So we chat with each other behind the scenes, and usually we're wanting to jump in and ask questions. With him, it was like, no, you ask. I'm scared. Jamie was like, I'm scared of him. I can't ask any questions.
Excuse me, sir. I'm sorry, sir. My mom was like, my mother was like, that guy wasn't the chattiest. I was like, It was kind of bad. But he writes very beautifully. So go to smokethedonkey.com if you want to hear the story. I'm not going to bag on this guy anymore. I mean, chew this.
Stop talking about him. He's a good guy. Yeah. Hey, before we go on here to the commercial, I just wanted to mention, because Jamie won't, that I posted the picture of your seventh grade class picture. And had everybody guess which one you were. And I was amazed the number of people who got it right.
Really?
Yes, it was amazing the number of people who got it right that knew exactly which one you were. And I apologize to your mother because I forgot to post it and then till later in the day, and I heard she was very upset about that. So I apologize to your mom. Sorry, Mom.
All right, hold on. Let me see this. Did my mom even guess?
I think your mom probably knew. But, there was a number of people who got it correct. So congratulations to all of you who picked second row up, third from the left. Was who it was, the one with the pixie haircut.
Yeah, and we all had pixie haircuts at that age. I don't know why. Look at the girls in the second row, every one of them. Their hair doesn't go past their ears. What was
That's
wrong
true.
With that?
That's true when you look at it. That's right. And then also, if you haven't seen this, go back to our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning and look at the really bad ad with the drunk guy and the drunk horse. Just scroll down to see the really bad ad that Jennifer posted with the drunk guy and the drunk horse and some of the hilarious comments that were on. There were some hilarious comments, I got to say, that you guys, our listeners, have a sense of humor. It was pretty good.
Is this the guy who was sitting on the horse like in loafers and he had his collar popped and he had the visor on? No, he had a tank top on with tattoos.
Yeah, tank
that's
top
right.
With
yeah.
his tattoo showing. Yeah, and then the horse who had the brow band that was over his eyes and the upside down bit.
Yeah.
I really, sometimes when we post these things, the listeners, the ones who don't listen to the show that are on our Facebook page, make comments and they don't quite get what we're doing here. But this time you read them, you'll see that they got it.
Yeah, sometimes we post ads and people that don't listen that just see the Facebook post, like totally rip us. And we're like, no, it's not our horse. You got to listen to the show.
Certainly is not me on that horse. He may look drunk, but he actually has muscle, and I've never had that muscle there. So that's certainly not me.
Yeah. Oh, somebody asked if he comes with the horse. They would not buy. Yes, we have some great listeners. Great listeners. I love you guys. Hey, I was going to say, we got to get to our commercial and just let everybody know, first of all, thank you to Omega Alpha for sponsoring today's show. Nearly 20 years ago, Dr. Gordon Chang was handed his PhD in physiology. Is that right? Did I say that right? Not psychology, physiology, from the University of Toronto Institute of Biomedical Engineering. That means he went to a lot of school. Back then, there were many natural health products in the marketplace, but no regulation in the industry, and consumers had no idea if what was stated on the label was actually what was in the bottle of the supplements they were buying. I mean, there was no kind of parameters for buying supplements forever ago. But when Dr. Chang founded Omega Alpha, he realized that what was needed in the industry was scientific quality in manufacturing to the pharmaceutical standards. And from day one, Omega Alpha was certified to manufacture up to GMP standards to ensure scientific quality in the products that they create. And as a matter of fact, Omega Alpha was on site, was site licensed for the standards more than a decade before it was required from the health people up in Canada. And using Dr. Chang's words, quote, "I insist on using only the ingredients that have scientific research behind any claim made." And if you fast forward now to 2012, horse owners can find Omega Alpha equine supplements at their favorite feed suppliers across North America and through reputable online suppliers. And you can also find them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Well, thank you, Jamie. Next up, we're going to have a couple of interviews for you that Lisa Kemp, who is our account manager here at the Horse Radio Network, did for us back at the American Equestrian Trade Association show. We talked to her last week. You'll remember we chatted with her for a bit.
Yeah,
but she did a couple interviews. Yeah,
I think to tell everybody what the ADA is, it is basically every product that you find in your tax store. All these people that sell these products go to this trade show, and then all the people that own tax shops go to the trade show to look at the new products from all these people. And when Glenn has let me go, I think I've been there twice, and I've spent more money than I make in the entire year by going, "You guys just going to sell that? You want to get rid of it?" It's super fun, but it's not open to the public. We just got lucky enough to get in there and go. But, oh my gosh, it is like the biggest tax shop you've ever seen.
I want to thank Hopper Expositions for inviting us out every time, twice a year to that. Jennifer and I couldn't make it this year, so Lisa filled in for us and had a great time there. And actually, the reason that you have not been invited back, Jamie, has nothing to do with anything but the phone call I received from your husband who said, "If you ever invite her back, I am going to make sure she never works for you for a day. And again, she's going to be quitting because I'm going to make her."
He actually was kind of excited about the deals because he knows I'm going to buy these things anyway. I might as well buy them at a discount.
A discount. Well, this is the first interview. This is from Linda Houck, who is of Spursuader fame. Jennifer loves her Spursuaders, and she's an inventor, and she makes some great products. And she only has a couple of products because she designs what she finds that people need. As I said, she's a cool lady. She's an eventer like Jamie is. She's an inventor and an eventer. That's
there
where I was getting mixed up. She's both. So here is her newest product. It's not out yet, but it's coming out very soon, and this is what Lisa has.
And this is Lisa Kemp for Horse Radio Network. We're here at the ADA International Trade Show, the American Equestrian Trade Association. We're here with Linda Houck of Tapestry Equine Services. She's the inventor of the patented Spursuader that was launched August of 2009 right here at ADA. Now Linda's introducing her second product. So Linda, tell us about what you're developing now.
Lisa, I've developed a neck strap.
The only
thing that you see out on the market now that people use is literally a stirrup leather wrapped around the neck. And I have a 10-year-old daughter who's now just starting to do cross-country and pony club and eventing. And the pony doesn't wear a breastplate, doesn't wear a martingale strap. And that's in case she gets left behind or loses her balance, it'd be nice to have something to hold on to. So I thought, why don't I just design a nice neck strap. It can be braided into the mane. It comes in two different sizes, and it's there so instead of grabbing the pony's mouth, if something happens, then she's got this neck strap to hold on to.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah, I see you have a picture here, and the neck strap just fits into place, like right at the base of the neck, like right above the shoulder. Yeah, so that's really great. It just fits right there. So you were just finding that people were just using, like, their old stirrup leathers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You see lots of amateurs, you know, they're going out in the hunt field or they're going out just to ride, and, you know, they might be a bit nervous or something, and that's exactly what they do is they come out and they've got a stirrup leather tied around their horse's neck.
That's cool. Yeah, but it's not, you were saying it's not just for beginner riders or young folk.
No, actually, Holly Bennett, who's on the Canadian Olympic team for eventing, she wears one on gin and juice.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
So it's for beginners. It's for anybody that
just wants
that, you know, little bit of extra protection to hold on to in case they get left behind. I did design it so that it has a D-ring so that it can be braided right into the mane.
Oh, yeah. I see there. Right there on the top, and it's right there at the top of the neck.
And it's got an elastic insert, so there's a little bit of, give on the horse's neck. So it's not just a tight leather strap.
Okay.
You actually have that. It's reinforced with the leather over top of the stretchy material.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. And so have you been putting the prototype into use? And
yeah, I have. My daughter's been competing with it. It's cute. She was just at a pony club, the jumper championship.
Yeah.
And when she had her tack check done by one of the adults there for pony club, the person looked at my daughter and said, you know what, you're the only one wearing one here.
Yeah.
Everyone, all the kids should be wearing a neck strap
here. Wow.
And then one of my students has a gorgeous 17-2 thoroughbred that has quite the jump, and she never goes cross country without hers.
Wow, right, because a 17-hand horse, that's a powerful jump.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
And then on the other extreme, though, I've got a lovely amateur adult rider who rides a little bit nervous, and she wears a neck strap just, again, for if the horse spooks on me or I get out of balance a little bit, I'm not grabbing their mouth, which very often makes the situation worse.
Right. And you're right, because then it's a trust issue with the horse, and then you get issues like that. But I can also see where this could be helpful even out on the trail ride, because, you know, how often has somebody's rein broke and then, you know, your horse spooks or something, and then you're completely at the mercy of whenever the horse decides to stop.
Hey, you just gave me a great idea there, Lisa. Yeah, so if you're wearing the neck strap and the rein breaks, you can undo the neck strap, and there's your extra rein.
There's your extra rein. There you go. That's very cool. That's very cool. So the neck strap is going to be available in time for Christmas, that's right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, is there information at your website that people can look for?
It will be.
It will be.
Yeah,
okay.
It's coming up very soon.
In about 2 months?
Yeah, it will be available. Shires Equestrian is the distributor for it in the U.S., and you'll be able to find it in tack stores right across the world.
Okay, great. Fantastic. So spursuader.com, and also www.tapestryequine.ca are the websites to go to for information about this. Just want to thank Linda Hawk for being with us today, and good luck with the product launch.
Great. Thank you so much, Lisa.
I think this is a horse husband's dream come true. And also, you could have used one of these on Friday, Jamie. Probably would have helped.
You know, I as fast as I fell off, Glenn, let me just tell you, I wouldn't have done nothing.
No time. You would have grabbed it on the way down.
Yeah, exactly.
No, actually, when I first started riding, I insisted on one, Jennifer. Actually, we used, wasn't a neck strap. It was a, what do you call those that you put in the front of the saddle and the D-rings, a little loop there. It was the saddle loop thing. So
handle.
I used one of those. But, you know, I could see, have you seen many riders using neck straps? I guess it's legal, right, in eventing?
Oh, definitely. Everybody uses them. Oh, well, I can't say everybody, because I don't use one on Jet. But when I took little Joe Montana up to the horse trial, I threw one on him for cross country for sure. And I must admit that, and don't say it, Edward, my new off-the-track thoroughbred. Go ahead.
The vampire? Edward the vampire.
God. Edward, my off-the-track thoroughbred, he wears a neck strap every time I ride him because he's pretty darn quick. And a lot of times when I'm asking for the canter and I know that I might get a very explosive transition, I kind of just grab the neck strap with my outside hand just to kind of steady myself and my outside hand so I don't pull him in the mouth, you know, and just ask him for that. And so no matter what he does, I feel like I'm kind of down in the saddle. So, you know, I find the neck straps to be very, very valuable for just everyday riding.
Well, and I think, you know, she makes good products. This First Waiter is a well-designed, good product. And I can't wait to see this because I know she, you know, they talked about it even being able to be braided into the mane. So she's got some things going on with it that could be interesting. So when that comes out, we'll let you know, and we'll have her on and we'll talk about it when that product comes out. But now the next company that we're going a whole different direction here into fashion and clothing. She spoke to a company that was the first time at the Ada show, and it was called La Fash. L-E-F-A-S-H. Careful how you say that one, Jamie. She was, this is their first time, and they had some very technical shirts and things that they were doing, so let's hear about La Fash.
And this is Lisa Kemp for Horse Radio Network. We're here live at the Ada International Trade Show, the American Equestrian Trade Association. I'm here with Ariana Vestino of La Fash, which is producing some out-of-the-ordinary takes on equestrian apparel. So, Ariana, thank you for being here, and tell me a little bit about your clothing.
Well, thank you for talking with me. La Fash is a new line we just launched last October, and basically what I wanted to do was create the first fashion-forward traditional riding attire. It's traditional enough to wear it in the show rings and to when you're riding your horse, but also it's fashion forward enough that you can wear it every day and feel that you're still very involved with, you know, fashion and style.
Wow, that's cool. Okay, so there's some really unique features. It's not just the design of things, but you've really incorporated some interesting features into your clothing. So tell me about that.
Well, first is our show shirt. We designed it where we placed Egyptian cotton in areas that are visible under your hunt jacket. So when you're riding in a hunter jumper or even dressage arena, you're not able to tell that there's anything very different about the product. So it looks very traditional. But when you take your jacket off, in the side panels and in the sleeves, you have a bamboo spandex knit. So that's going to act like a technical performance fiber because bamboo fiber actually does that naturally. So it wicks away the moisture, controls your temperature. It's also antibacterial, so it helps with any odor-causing bacteria caused by your sweat. So that's a fabulous feature that's different in our silhouettes, very unique to us. We also have a hidden magnetic closure in the collar. So it closes nice and clean with a hidden magnet on the inside. So when you're riding, it buttons up very nice. But when you want to wear the shirt open after you're done riding, or if you want to wear it every day, you're not going to see the back of an ugly snap or messy button. So it's going to open nice and clean as well.
That's very nice.
Thank
very
you.
Cool. And you've got some pretty unique color choices as well.
That's right. We wanted to follow mainstream fashion color trends. So for fall, we're really pushing the army military green. So we have a color like that. We have the oxblood color, which is a huge fall trend. Also lime green we've even gone into. So we have some really beautiful plants that have the lime and auburn and gray, and it's a really, really rich equestrian style. We were inspired by Jackie Onassis and her riding style, which is like all the really traditional plaids and stripes, and we wanted to bring that back into riding and have it really be about the traditional riding fashion and riding style.
So honoring the tradition but bringing it forward into modern day with the details and the fabrics and all of that.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Well, and we just want to let our listeners know you're also an advisor on in terms of equestrian style.
I am. I partner with Carly Sparks of GetMyFix.org. We do a bi-monthly fashion file on her website, which talks about all things in equestrian style, whether it's about show clothes, just relaxing and trail riding clothes, to, you know, what kind of is hot in the industry, even with accessories and rainwear and everything.
And then you were telling me that that just recently got picked up by an American publication.
It did. Equine Journal now has turned that feature into a monthly column in their magazine, so it's really, really great to see it there. And we talk about some different things and some of the same things that we talk about on GetMyFix.org, but it's all about, you know, equestrian style and what's kind of hot in the industry right now.
Do you find differences between the American audience and the Canadian audience?
I don't. I think that we're all kind of, you know, wanting to represent our brands and our style and what's kind of working for us. And you know, it's obviously a little bit chillier up there in the winter. But for the most part, you know, when we're around the barn, we're all dealing with the same thing, whether it's excessive heat or mud or rain or dirt, and how to stay clean and how to look good. And basically, you know, I like to mention things that you can wear riding and in the barn, and then you can also kind of go to the grocery store and not look, get strange looks. So
right.
Things that you can buy and you can
except
wear.
Except for your muddy boots.
Exactly. So things that you can buy and you can wear in different elements of your life. And I always think that's great, especially for your wallet.
Great. Fantastic. So LeFash items are currently available online at www.lefashny.com.
Well, Jamie, do you wear the technical fabrics? I imagine you would have to out there instead of straight up cotton, you know, the Lycra blends and everything to wick the moisture away. You would have to in Arizona, wouldn't you?
Yeah. You know what's awesome about that is I realize that when you get those, you can actually hose yourself off. Like, I have the little misting thing on my wash rack, and I mist my shirt completely and get it soaking wet, and then I go ride and I stay cool the whole time. Now, here's the problem, Glenn, is that it doesn't really work if you have that kind of high-tech fabric for a shirt and then a cotton sports bra, because that sucker just gets wet and heavy.
That's true.
And so you really need to commit to the technical fabric for both things instead of just the cotton T-shirt and the sports bra or just the regular, beautiful, wonderful, lightweight fabric but then a heavy cotton sports bra. It doesn't work.
Yeah, it kind of just acts like a big sponge under there, huh?
Yeah, it really does. So I need to step it up with the sports bra. Maybe that's the person we can get on here next. But yeah, by God, sweating a lot in a wet sports bra stinks. Let me just tell you.
Well, she also said when she was at the show, bamboo fabrics were really in the bamboo spandex knits, and bamboo just doesn't sound comfortable. You know, when you picture bamboo, you picture these really hard sticks coming up out of the ground. Now I thank God they're finding another use for bamboo other than food for Chinese animals, because this stuff, when it grows, it just takes over everything. I mean, it is prolific. It just takes over. So,
well,
thank God they're actually finding something.
About bamboo, when I lived in Atlanta, they had just gotten the pandas from the zoo Atlanta, and they come from China. Well, the pandas in Zoo Atlanta, this is such a random animal story, but it's an animal story, so I can tell it. The pandas don't like the same kind of bamboo all the time. And then sometimes they don't like the bamboo at all. So they want particular types of bamboo. It's like when your horse is grazing out in the pasture and they leave those random spots of really tall grass. And you're like, it looks so good, but there's something wrong with it. So our job as Atlanta residents was to call the zoo and report where bamboo was growing so they could go and harvest it from random areas. And there was a huge bamboo area when we would go trail riding at a farm just east of Atlanta. So I called the zoo and they harvested it.
Huh.
I don't know.
Who knew?
I don't know if they liked it or not, but yeah, they kind of put out a call like, hey, if you have bamboo growing, we'll come and get it.
And so, you know what? People with bamboo really want you to come and get it, because as I said, it just takes over like a weed.
I didn't even know that. It was just this big wall that we would have to, wall of bamboo we would ride by. And it was huge. I mean, just tons of it. So, they came and got it for the pandas. I felt like I did my part for the animals of the world, the animals of the zoo. And then when their little baby panda was born, I felt like I was part, like its aunt or something. I got it food.
Well, thank you to Lisa for doing that. LeFash, you can check them out at lefashny.com. And they have some nice stuff. I mean, it is nice shirts, and it has some – I can see where the Jackie Onassis influence comes from because of the plaids and things that they have in it.
Did you notice anything particular about these style of shirts?
They're worn by pretty models in the pictures that
exactly.
have never ridden a, that probably
like,
have never ridden a horse.
What shirt? These shirts, of course, you know, I'm sure that they would look good on everybody, but my God, they sure do look good on this girl. She has not an ounce of fat on her and is curvy and beautiful. So, yeah, I'll take them. If I can look like this girl in these shirts, I'm buying.
Yeah, and it kind of looked like in a couple of the pictures the girls weren't wearing bras at all. They didn't have your problem because they were wearing bras. So, yeah, if any guys want to check it out, it's LeFashNY.com. There you go.
your daily service for the day.
Let's take a break. Let's hear about Equestrian Collections product of the week. And then our song today is a terrific one. I don't know if you got a chance to watch it, but I put Templeton Thompson has a new video out called Follow You Anywhere. And it is on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. It was her Thursday or third Thursday pick for this month. And they did this video out in the middle of her pasture with her horse, Sizz, with both of her horses, and how well trained she has them doing free work just out in the field. It was a neat video to give you guys goosebumps. If you haven't seen it yet, go to our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning and check it out. It's called Follow You Anywhere, and we'll play her song right after this. Product of the week from Equestrian Collections. Hi, Glenn, back with you from the Horse Radio Network. I am here with Debbie with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
This week we're featuring some new exciting breeches that we have in stock right now for the plus-size rider. Equine Couture Plus-Size Coolmax Champion Side Zip. These breeches have a Euro seat. They have the CS2 bottoms, which is that silky material that helps you get the boot, your leg in the boot nice and smoothly. The fabric is 82% nylon, 12% Coolmax, and 6% Lycra. The most comfortable thing you can put on. They're perfect for summer riding. They're perfect for summer shows. And they're in stock right now. We have long and regular sizes, all the way from 36 up to 44. So this is just the perfect summer breech, and we can get it to you right away. Just it's about $79,
wow,
which
that's
is
a
great
price. Yeah, that's terrific.
Yeah, so that's the Equine Couture Coolmax Champion Side Zip. You can also shop in our 1824 store to find these breeches and many other products for the plus-size rider.
And, of course, that's all at EquestrianCollections.com.
Talking like
That is Templeton Thompson. Follow you anywhere on Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. Brought to you today by Omega Alpha. I was during that game. I was actually picking the hooves of my new horse. It's actually a foal, and it's standing tied ever so nicely on Thoroughbred World, my new Facebook game. And wait, I'm combing the foal's mane. This foal is really good about standing still for hoof picking. Let me just tell you that right now. And I just finished grooming my friend's horse. And we've got somebody on the line right now to talk to us about Thoroughbred World, because I'm a little bit confused on this new Facebook app brought to you by the Jockey Club. Is this Sumiko here on in this number? Hello?
Oh, no. She was on Facebook.
Oh, bummer.
She didn't call it. She's on Facebook. No, she said, Thoroughbred game okay. I tried to do something with this last week and couldn't get past the introduction, so I guess she got as far as you did. Just now I was able to get on, groom a horse, and train a horse. I think it's kind of clunky. So Sumiko didn't have good things to say.
All right. I've got to go train Nancy's stupid horses in agility right now because, you know, I can't have my own yet. I got to work for somebody else. Let me just tell you how much work I do around the farm every day. I don't want to work on Nancy's horses. I want to work.
Oh, I think Jamie dropped off. Apparently, the people from the Thoroughbred game have now cut Jamie off. They said, she's bad enough in our game. We're going to cut her off. I found our new house, Jennifer, while we're waiting for Jamie to come back on. Our new house. Now, it's not in the United States. You know how we do the things you'll never own? Well, this is one of them. This house is out of England. And it is called the Quinby Hall Estate. Now, it's a mere 12 million pounds, which is about $20 million. And it's got a manor house that looks doesn't that look almost like the one in that show, Downton Abbey, that we like so much? Think of Downton Abbey's manor house. It has 11 bedrooms, 7 reception rooms, a traditional courtyard, 7 additional houses and cottages, 4 flats. I don't know why flats, but that must be like apartments. Stable yard, farm buildings, pasture, and 1,200 acres. Oh, by the way, there's room to do fox hunting and shooting as well. The barn is very nice. It's set up in that traditional U shape with the courtyard in between. It's all made out of brick and stone and stuff. It's a very nice place. Yep, I'm ready to move in tomorrow. Let's go win the lottery so we can get this Quinby Hall Estate. And it has the formal gardens, too. You're going to have to work on those. Or we'll put the horses out there. I'm not sure which.
It doesn't look real. I mean, it's like badminton or Burley. What is it? The Burley horse trials have the castle surrounding them. It's absolutely incredible.
I know. And only 12 million pounds. It's a steal.
Oh, my gosh. What a deal.
Yeah.
And how many acres is it?
Oh, you know that website where people go to raise money? What was that called? To do stuff that Templeton uses? Kickstarter. Let's do a Kickstarter project to buy it. What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds good. Good luck with that.
Hey, did you hear about the rare Somali wild ass?
Tell me, please.
There's a rare Somali wild ass, and yeah, that actually is an animal, and it's out of the zoo in Miami. It just had a baby. They just had a baby wild ass. So its name is Kani, which is a popular Arabic name that means full of joy. And it perfectly fits, apparently, this new baby. She's a rare Somali wild ass born October 9th to a female named Leisha, who arrived in Miami last year from the San Diego Zoo already pregnant. It's the only living wild ancestor of today's modern donkey. And this is cute. And do they look soft? I mean, they have this really soft-looking fur. They're small. They only weigh 500 to 600 pounds. And they apparently have another female on loan from San Diego through the Species Survival Plan program. And that one is due any day now. So little Hanny is going to have a friend to play with. They have the big ears, and they have the manes. They're, so what color would you say they are? What color is that?
They're
donkey
like
gray.
They look like chinchillas. Like the coat of chinchillas, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
I thought they were great.
And they kind of have the main, have the black across the top, and, you know, gray with the black across the top, sort of like a fjord kind of main, sort of. But they're really cool looking, and apparently you can go see it at the zoo right now. Hanny is there. If you're in Miami, check it out. There are less than 1,000 remaining in the world. So they are, they've been hunted for food, which is unfortunate. So go check them out. Now, one thing about these wild asses is that the zookeepers aren't sure how much Hanny actually weighs because they can't get near her because the mother is so protective that they're not, they haven't even been able to get in and do an exam. So
yeah, that's when you go, big pony.
So it looks healthy to me.
Or shoot in the butt with a dart, one or the other.
Exactly. Hey, we've got our first our next guest on the line. It is Leslie Wiley from HorseNation.com. And Leslie, good morning.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. Great to have you on. I wanted to jump in here because I wanted to know, did you hear about the wild asses? I mean, because that sounds like something you guys would talk about.
I mean, I heard it from you guys, but I had not heard about it elsewhere. No, but thoroughly captivated.
Now, before we get to what you actually called to talk to us about, can I just... I want to make a comment on Horse Nation and how things work over there. Because you've got tons of articles all the time talking about, like, you know, first aid and show a daily dose of an adorable show jumper, the beauty of the schooling show, and then you go through, like, products. And then, you know, all of those have about 115, 120 views. And then you've got, you know, humiliating moments captured on film, 500 views, you know, 300 views for these different things. And then you've got 736 views when you put in the title, A Lesson with Lawrence Spreiser, with a special guest appearance by Naked George Clooney. I mean, I had to click on it. I'm like, Naked George Clooney is in this article? I'm there. I clicked on it. Actually, it turned out
what readers want.
Yeah, you do, because apparently everybody wants to talk about or see pictures of Naked George Clooney. I mean, this is a very clickable photo right here. I thought maybe that because it is a photo of George Clooney on the front page in a pool, and he's clearly shirtless. I thought if you clicked on it, it would show his entire body in the pool naked. I'm not going to ruin
what
it.
You felt. You walked
she felt
right
the
into my
is
trap.
What she felt.
it's hard to convince people, hey, read about my dressage lesson. But if you put a mention of Naked George Clooney and a little tease of is George Clooney naked or is he just swimming? Then, you know, then people click, click, click. Yeah, I know.
Works.
I know what's going on.
It works. I fell for it. You got one extra click because of me. Actually, I've clicked like 3 or 4 times hoping that the next time I click, he's actually going to be there.
I will work on it. I could not find a naked picture of George Clooney. So, but
she looked
run forward. One, I'll,
spent hours on I, that subject.
Hours. That's right. You just have to use your imagination.
It should have been there. Well, listen, if you do, it's actually a great article, and it to talk about keeping your chin up. The trainer actually says, imagine that in the rafters there's a naked George Clooney. So that's brilliant. I'm going to use that. Of course, my students are like 15. I'd have to say there's a shirtless Edward the Vampire hanging.
Justin Bieber. And they'd still be like, what? And their parents would be like, no more lessons. No more lessons from Jamie.
That girl is terrible. Awesome. Well, now you did actually call in to talk to us about a couple things. First thing being pentathlons. Explain to everybody what a pentathlon is. We probably all know, so you can keep it brief. And then why you think pentathlon competitors are nuts.
Well, so pentathlon, I mean, it's a five-phase sport that consists of swimming, shooting, fencing, running, and riding. And at the Olympic level, I really have just learned this this summer, the requirements for riding are they've got to, they sort of similar to the intercollegiate riding program. Like, they, you draw a horse, a random horse that you've never seen before, and you have 20 minutes and five jumps to warm up, and then you go in the ring and you have to jump a 3-9 course. Which already sounds, in this being after you've already, you're already exhausted, right? Because you've done, you've been swimming and running and doing the sword thing and, so.
The sword thing, fencing, the sword thing. So you're exhausted and then you have to get on a strange horse and jump 3-9. Okay, that's a really huge jump course. On a horse that you sat on for about 3 minutes.
Right, right. I mean, isn't that a little bonkers? I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but but I was wondering about this, so I put it out there. I put a post on Horse Nation to sort of feel out what other people were like. Does anyone else think this is a little crazy? And we got a huge response. It seems like at most of the major pentathlon events, like something goes horribly wrong with somebody, if not several people. You know, it's just sort of, it seemed like a recipe for disaster. And I think people made some good points as far as, well, you know, on one hand, you could say that about any equestrian sports. You know, any equestrian sport is getting on a horse and racing at full speed towards, you know, huge, massive, solid obstacles. Bonkers, maybe, you know, or going towards giant show jumping fences, you know, that, you know, I think you could make a case for any of it being a little crazy, but I'm just wondering if this is maybe even a little bit over the top, a lot to ask of people. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I mean, I guess there needs to be some sort of qualification for, and maybe there is, I don't know, but there needs to be some sort of qualification for horses and riders. I mean, take somebody who can just run and fence and throw them on a horse to go 3-9. That's a huge fence for a person that rides, much less a person that doesn't ride. Now, I read one of the comments from a veterinarian that posted, and she says that she rode regularly in shows against the U.S. pentathlon team when she was in high school in the early 60s, and the trainer was a European cavalry officer, and she said that those guys could ride. However, this doesn't translate to every country, and every country is different, and we certainly know that other countries have a lot less respect for animals than we do. I think it needs to be a case-by-case basis and some sort of qualification.
Yeah, that sounds hard.
I disagree with you both. I disagree with both of you, and I'll tell you why. This is a horse husband's delight watching this, because it was wild. There were riders falling off. There were horses freaking out. It was perfect entertainment.
So it ranks high. We're not going to argue with you on that, because it definitely ranks high on the entertainment scale. But
we had to watch all these Olympic riders go around the jump course, and none of them fell off, and they knock a rail here and there. But I mean, this was exciting.
Well, you got a point.
More pentathlon in the world is what I say.
You know what, though? It's funny. I noticed that the second highest viewed thing on HorseNation.com is the sections where you guys show people falling off. And I am so opposite, because I got to tell you, I hate watching people fall off. I hate falling off. I hate watching people fall off. I don't want to see it, because then I'll think about it and it'll scare me. But you guys have some crazy listeners that are all into it.
I love when they call them lawn darts. Jamie was a lawn dart on Friday, actually. So
yeah,
I love that term, by the way.
Yeah. people are sick, I guess. I like watching people fall off, so long as they're okay. If they're not okay, or if the horse isn't okay, that's a different story. But I like watching people who, you know, worst case scenario happens and they bounce up and they're fine, and then that sort of, to me, it feels like, that's the worst that can happen, and they were okay, and, you know, they,
Let me tell you that the girls
And you'll have to listen to the beginning of the show to hear the whole story. But the 10 girls that were galloping down the road as I was practicing my trot links in England, and the guy on the unicycle, they all enjoyed watching me fall off. Let me just point that out. And as the person that falls off, let me just point out that the walk of shame to go back to the barn to get your horse hurts worse than the fall. It really does.
Oh, definitely. Always the walk of shame, yep.
Who rides a unicycle, for God's sake? I mean, really? Unicycle?
Seriously.
Who's not going to look at that?
That's ridiculous. I don't know. I don't know.
Good times. Okay, but now, it leads us to our next and final portion of horsenation.com, and that is when you do fall off. What is this whole helmet thing that you've got posted there?
Yeah, it's this was wild. A couple of readers sent me links to this. It's been called an invisible helmet, and it's not really invisible. It's actually a collar that you wear around your neck, and they came up with this for bicyclists. It's a collar that you wear around your neck that kind of similar to, you know, the air vests that we're wearing cross country when you become separated from your bike, or I'm not sure exactly how it works. I know there's some sort of motion detector involved. The thing inflates like instantaneously to form this big sort of pillow, inflated pillow that's full of helium around your head and your neck. And it's supposed to be 3 times safer than an actual bicycling helmet. So I was like, that's a really interesting concept. And I wonder if it's something that because a lot of people are hesitant. You know, they like the feeling of wind billowing through their hair or whatever. I wonder if for bull riders or any sort of equestrian sport, I wonder if that would make people more likely to have that sort of protection.
Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be great? I don't know what it is with people. I one of the places when I went horse shopping last week, Glenn, I was telling them about this, is I go to this one place to look at these horses, and this girl is on this paint horse that is absolutely crazy. This is supposed to be my school horse that I was going to go look at. And, of course, this horse is absolutely crazy. And this girl has a Western saddle on, and she's riding it around. And there's low-hanging branches in their arena. And so every time she comes around the arena, I use finger quotes in the air with arena. It was basically like kind of some spare room that they had with the panels stuck up. And so she's going, and she has to duck every time she comes through this part of the arena because
God.
The trees and the low-hanging branches. Of course, I did not get on a horse at this fine establishment. But that's Craigslist for you. So I didn't get on, but I said to her, and I said, girl, you are crazy. First of all, you're on a horse that you've never ridden that is absolutely going bananas, and you're riding underneath low-hanging branches, and you don't have a helmet on. And she's like, yeah, I got a hard head. And I said, no, you don't. I said, no, you don't. You don't have a hard head. A horse's foot is a lot harder than your head, or this fence post, or this tree branch. And then the lady this is, by the way, the trainer that's on the horse. And the lady that owns the horse goes, you think she would have learned after last week? Ha, ha, ha. Girl, last week? Crazy. What is wrong with people? So maybe an air helmet around your brain would actually do something, although at some point, I can't say it. I was going to say Darwinism, but I can't say it. I can't do it. That's not fair.
So I got to tell you, I'm looking at the pictures of this, and I don't get quite how it works. Is it just the collar thing, and then it comes up over your head when it inflates? And why does it – it almost looks like it would take your ears off on the way up.
I'm sure they've worked around that. It does kind of look like that. Yeah, it you know, once you're flying through the air – and it just like if you we have a video on the site of it actually working, but it comes up, it just sort of like airbag in a car, yeah, or an air vest, yeah. It just kind of like shoots out the back and then wraps around your head.
So if you're riding your horse and all of a sudden you have to turn around quick to see, you know, to see if something's coming up behind you, like a big bear or something, and you turn around quick, the thing goes off, scares your horse, you fall off, and by then it's deflated and you hit the ground.
I don't know. I'm sure they've figured out. So, you know, I'm not sure how it knows that you're having a bike wreck, you know, unless it's like a super sudden change of, I don't know.
I can calculate them for ingenuity. We're finally thinking about things, you know.
It just goes to show you that there are smarter people in the world that design stuff and do stuff a lot better than we do. So,
let me tell you why I know there's smarter people before we let Leslie go. Because every week they post on their website at horsenation.com a horse haiku. Is it just me? Am I the only one in the world that doesn't get what the hell a haiku is and just doesn't understand it? Am I the only one? I should feel so stupid because it says it's Monday again. Check your email, fax some stuff, sneak peeks at HN. Is it supposed to rhyme? Is it?
No, it doesn't have to rhyme. It's three lines. The first line has five syllables, the second line has seven, and the third line has five. And you can kind of fill in the blanks however you want to.
Well, most can I make my own thing up and call it a Glen? That is three syllables on the first and eight on the second and three on the third?
Absolutely.
Ancient Chinese art, Glen. Okay, don't mess with it. This is some ancient magic.
I don't get it.
Somebody invented a haiku. The Mr. Haiku invented it or something. So why not have a Glen? I don't know. You can start see it, test it out on Horses in the Morning. See if it flies.
Okay. Bet my own. And it's not even rhyme. It doesn't rhyme. I don't get it.
It's deep though, Glen. It's deep and it's magical. This one that they have here. Sometimes I feel like a horse in a stall waiting to be led outside. I'm with you. I get it.
It's
I'm
deep and magical. Thank you,
it's
Jamie.
Deep and magical. I get it. Leslie Wiley, as usual, thank you for joining us. We will talk to you again next week. Horsenation.com is the website, and everybody go check it out. This is the best thing to do when you're bored at work.
Thank you, guys. Have a great week.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah. See you, Leslie.
Bye.
Nobody works at work, Glen. No.
Look, this is our job, and we're not even working. I mean,
Haven't you seen the movie Office Space where he's like goes in and he's sitting with the consultants and he's like, so basically, he goes, basically, Bob, I do about 20 minutes of work a day. I spend the rest of my day trying to look like I'm working. I love it.
Well, we have some news stories that we're going to have to save because we didn't get to them today. Is there any
That's
that you wanted
awkward.
To get in there?
No, my back hurts and I need another pain pill and, you know. Just gonna be.
Yeah, I'm going to buy you one of those blow-up helmets. You can put it over your other helmet and have two helmets.
Who knew you needed an air vest for dressage? I mean, really. I'm going to wear it all the time.
Well, Jamie, I hope you feel better. We'll be back again live on Wednesday. So everybody have a great couple of days. We'll have a show for you tomorrow morning. Thank you, by the way, so much for listening to the recorded shows. All the other hosts on the Horse Radio Network appreciate that over the summer here. We're having some fun along the way as well, so we appreciate that. We'll be back live on Wednesday. You take care, Jamie.
Thank you very much, everybody, for putting up with me today. Spay, neuter, and geld, have a great day. Go ride your horse. Wear an air vest. Wear a helmet.
Or ride an ostrich. Find one. Apparently they're fun. Wear a helmet. Ride your ostrich.